our church and the memorial service for Pat Maurer. We're going to sing a couple of hymns after we have a word of prayer. And then I'm going to say a few things. Hopefully, not everything, as preachers usually do. And then give you the opportunity. We'll have two portable mics, so you don't have to get up. You can sit in your seat. You can say anything, because since we're doing live stream, it would be dead time. And you can't pick up the sound, so we would lose the people that way. So why don't we stand, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then Brandon will come up and lead us in a couple of hymns. Our Father, we come before you very aware of where we are, who we are, what we're here for, and the gravity of really the moment. We're thankful for the association that we've had with our sister in Christ. We're thankful for everyone that's here. I know there's several that are watching. And we're just glad for the opportunity to say some things with our acquaintances and situations and everything that has developed through the years that she's not only been here, but before that. And so we pray that we would honor you above all things, and that we would understand how important it is for each and every person here to be able to grieve and to move forward. And so we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation in him, and for everyone here or watching that has received him by faith as their Savior. And so we ask that you move among us, and that you would have complete control, the Holy Spirit had complete control over what takes place here. And we just turn this over to you, trust you for the results. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
All right. Let's start with singing hymn number 27. Hymn number 27 in the hymnal in the back of the pew. 27, the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last are laid down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died. died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
And one more hymn, hymn number 243. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. 243.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He taught me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God. He loved me ere I knew. is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen, Pastor.
Okay, you got to turn this one on. In the book of, it's too loud. Take it down a bunch. In Psalm 100, and still too tall. I have a hum in my throat. I can switch to the pulpit if you want. Any better? Getting close. More. Okay. That'll be good. I'm not going to yell. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And so I've got some information. I'm going to convey that information in the first part of what I want to do here. And so I found out that Pat was born on March 13th, 1945, Lawrence, Massachusetts. Of course, she died December 10th of this year, making her 46 years old. She had four sons. Two of them have died. Two are still alive. One sister. Worked as a realtor for a while, but I think she's also worked other jobs as well. And we do know in our association with Pat that she loved to shop. And she would say, "Do you need any paper goods, like paper towels? You know, if you want to bring them, fine." And so she'd come in with 16 rolls of paper towels, bundles, and then toilet paper and things like that. So everything was mass quantities. And if you had any dealings with her, you know that she spoke her mind and rarely admitted that she might not be right. That's the way it was. Marilyn invited her to church. That's her first dealing with anybody from the church. They were at Wendy's, and so she came. And praise God, she came. And never left. And so one Sunday, she told everyone, and I'm quoting her pretty close, "I've learned more here in this service than I did my whole life, how I was raised in the church that I was in." And if you don't mind me saying the Catholic Church, then I'd love to say it. And so she began to hunger for the truths that were found in the Scriptures. And that's a good sign. That's a good sign that somebody is eager to know, but not just know, but to put them into use. And I think in the process, she initially said, you know, "Oh, I saved when I was 15 or something like that." And then she began to realize that her salvation wasn't through a church, but it was through Christ. And so she looked and trusted the Lord as her Savior. Now, one moment after a message, and I don't think anybody, maybe Linda knows this, she came over right there to around where Gloria's sitting, and she said, "I've been looking for you all my life. So when I composed myself back together again, I said, and the Lord's been looking for you all your life as well." So Christ and the Word of God were becoming more real, clear to her. Janet and Katie were really the force and fighters for all the way to the end. I don't think it was easy. I know it wasn't easy. But each one of them were up to the challenge. I think it took its toll, but that's part of what you do. She was a fighter. Eventually, truth versus error in one area and physically in the other. She had a 5 bypass surgery, and it found her slowed down, but up and running incredibly in a few weeks, and said, "You know what, I'm just going to live on and on and on and on." And then she started having pain in the vein in her leg and went to the doctor, and She got treated for that. And she came back and said the same thing. He's going to make this leg just as good as the other leg. And I'll be driving and everything else. But something didn't take. So then she went for the second, and it didn't take. And went to the third, and it didn't take. And I'm not sure the ultimate number, but I know four, maybe five. And none of them took because the pain was still there. And then it wasn't meant to be that she would get better from that. And so an amputation from the knee down took place and brought new problems without any solutions. And so she was transferred up here from Melbourne. A new doctor was called in, and he amputated her leg above the knee. And it proved to be too much, way too much for her frail and failing body. And the drugs and medications that were given to her kept her from being functional. Very sad, our system of dealing with these type issues, because they rob the patient of conversing, crying, praying with other people. And it's not, it doesn't, I'm not real happy about the system in the way that it works. Because if you're agitated, you're not allowed to be agitated, and so we're going to give you medicine to knock you out. And if you've got pain, we're going to give you other medicine to deal with the pain. And pretty soon, there was nothing. There was, I mean, just nothing. It was almost like you're in a coma. So I was reading about President McKinley a little bit before our time on his deathbed. And I quote, "It is useless, gentlemen. I think we ought to have prayer." And with a smile on his face, the president led in prayer while the surgeons and nurses were in tears. And with prayer on his lips, he departed to be with God. End quote. To me, that's how it should be. You know, I realize that in situations there's pain, but I don't know. It seems like this is far better. And so I think it would be an understatement to say that we miss her, but we know where she is, in the best of hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. So to that end, then I'd just like to turn over anything that you'd like to say. If you just slip your hand up, someone will bring you a microphone so you don't have to get up, and it will record. Otherwise, we'll have silence people. The live stream will know something's being said, but we'll be able to hear it. So anybody want to say anything to start us off? Okay, Janet, over here.
Pat was my friend for 25 years. We did everything together just about. She always said, "You can't outgive God." So, if the Bible is correct on Peter 1, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Charity covers a multitude of sins." My friends in heaven, no. Thank you. And thank you for letting her be a member of your church. Amen.
Amen. Okay, anybody else?
I looked at my cabinet, and I've got all kinds of food from Pat. In my freezer, there's food from Pat. I've got clothes from Pat. She was such a giving person. She loved to shop. And for whatever reason, she took a real liking to Gloria. And they'd leave here on Sunday and go do whatever they did. Almost every Sunday, they went and did something. It was amazing to me. And we went in the store one time. We went in a Walmart once. And the lady was there that knew the three of us. And she said, "Oh, it's the twins." Because Pat always said wherever they went, Gloria was her twin sister. She said, "This is my twin sister." And she leaned next to Gloria and smiled. "This is my twin sister." It was an amazing thing how close they got, how wonderful Pat was to her, how she just picked up and took on Gloria. It was a wonderful thing. But she was a very good friend. I talked to her several times before she passed about her salvation. I believe she really was saved because we did discuss it. And I don't know what else to say, but I love Pat. She was a wonderful person. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right, before we go on, she totally disrupted the normal special music where you call on somebody and you get two stanzas, and she says, "I'll take two," and Gloria will take two. So.
For the last probably, I don't know how many times, she wasn't talking. But the very last time she said a word, that any word at all, she said, "Church." I meant to tell you guys that because I thought you'd appreciate it. The last thing she said to me, the last word I heard her say, was church. Because I came here from church. She said church.
Okay.
We didn't get to know her very long. We met her just for a very short time, but I really enjoyed her when we did talk to her. I enjoyed just speaking with her and her laugh, and she always seemed to have questions. It was just really nice to get to meet her and know her, and I'm looking forward to getting to know her more when we go to heaven.
Yeah. All right.
I just wanted to add one more thing about the singing. Pat was supposed to sing in the choir, and I said, "If you sing in that choir, I'll be there." I came, and she was sitting there, and I sat beside her, and I said, "Pat, how come you're not in the choir?" She said, "I can't sing." I said, "Don't feel bad. I can't either."
Okay. So, building on that, she came here, and she mentioned that, didn't she? And Linda said, "Well, to be that in the choir, you know, you have to wear a dress or skirts." And said, "I don't have any dresses or skirts." And so she said, "You know, that's okay." And she went out and started picking not one. And she doesn't buy one, but a slew of them. And where she got them, I have no idea. I think her and Janet were in the loan shark business or something. And then she'd come in with all her slacks, and she'd start giving them out to anybody that would take them. I mean, it was just an automatic thing with her. So, who had the microphone? Linda?
Well, I still have a closet full of her things, and I'm still trying to give away to people. And she was very, very generous. That was just one of her wonderful attributes. And the thing with Gloria and Pat, that was just something that I don't think we'll ever forget that. It was just so funny. And I went to see her before she was transferred to the hospital. And she was in Royal Oak. Well, my mother died in Royal Oak, and so she wasn't awake as far as I know, but I remember with Mike's mother being in a coma for a long, long time that you never give up, because they do say, you know, sometimes you can still hear. And so with my mother before she died, I sang "When We All Get to Heaven," and what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. And I sang that for Pat, and then I prayed with her, and mainly for the Lord's will, because at that point you knew it was going to be just a struggle for her if she did make it through. And then when you think of them just being home with the Lord in heaven, just how wonderful that is. It would be selfish of us to try and keep her here when the Lord was ready to take her. But she was a remarkable woman.
Okay, anybody else?
I just want to say what a blessing Pat was to me in the short time I knew her. I don't think anybody has ever impacted my life in that span of time like she did. And she was just so unique and so loving and so giving. And And it was fun to be with her because things were going to be her way, but you had such a good time with her. So I really miss her, and I love her, and I look forward to the day when I see her again.
Yeah, amen.
Pat and I shared something. We were both long-time Catholics, so we had something in common. She saw in this church what I found. The answers are in the Bible. Well, I won't talk anymore about the Catholic Church. But I will say that I don't always come across as a person who exudes somebody else to smile or anything. And Pat and I had that relationship. I'd say hi to her, and we wouldn't really smile or anything. But one time I did see her smile. And I think we had mentioned salvation. So I didn't see her smile much any other time. Not to me. But I know she's smiling now, and now we are smiling for her. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Don't be shy. Back row. Baptist in the back row.
I just want to say that she was a blessing to me as a fellow northerner from Boston, and my grandma was also from Boston with a strong Boston accent and a strong will. And so she always reminded me of my grandma, and that was a blessing. And then I'll never forget, one day Micah preached that I wasn't cooking. And that was the beginning of weekly meals. Whatever we wanted, she would say, "What do you like?" And she would make whatever we liked from scratch. And it was just a blessing. We had full freezers, refrigerators, everything, probably until she couldn't really do it anymore. So everybody says she's a giver. She's going to get her rewards up there, and I wish I could have given her more down here, but we're thankful for her memory.
Anybody else?
I'll follow it up with, it's already been said, but it's worth repeating. Pat was a giver, and I don't think I'll be able to eat a frozen dinner Salisbury steak with mashed potatoes again without thinking of Pat, because that was probably, out of all the things, I got a bunch of those, and I like them, not complaining, because they're really good, but there was a lot of those that we got along the way from Pat, and she just did it because she wanted to. And that's a real blessing, and especially when you live the life of Sherry and I, and we're always in a hurry to get food, and that was a real, real blessing to have that. Second thing about Pat is she was a gleaner, and what I mean by that is she soaked up what she heard here. She gleaned the truths that she heard here, and one thing that would happen from time to time is she would go to Pastor or to me, and maybe even Brandon or some of you others, and she would ask questions about things that she heard in the message. And we would show her from the Bible where the answer was, or we would show her about that from the scriptures. And she would say, in a little bit of an irritated tone, "The Catholic Church never told me that." And again, you find the answers not in any church, not this church or any church per se. It's the scriptures where you find the answers. And then the last thing about Pat is she was glad. And two things on that. She was glad, number one, to have found the truth here. And right now she's glad. In fact, she's more glad than she's ever been, ever. Because she's been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing could make you more glad, and nothing could be better than that. So she's one of those people that, what was it, 2 years she was here about?
I've been a little more.
A little more than that? Okay. She's not one of these people I've known or any of us knew, or well, some of these folks might have, but only knew her for a short time. But she's one of those people that will leave a lasting impression on you for a long, long time. I will just never forget Pat. So I think about her, and we don't know how long we have to impact somebody's life. And I'll always remember her as being somebody that I wasn't around for years and years and years, but in the time I knew her, she was a big impact. So. Great lesson learned from Pat, dear lady.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Wait. You got to use a microphone.
Whenever I would look over at Gloria, I would always see Pat at the other end of this pew. And she would always have a smile for me. And she was always very sure that there was something that she forgot to say as she was making a statement about either her illness or what she had learned from the scripture. And when I found that out that she had passed, I just thought, wow, she's got has all the answers now. And and I'm she gave me a shirt once. What did you give me a shirt for? I only have 1,500. And she just was a huge heart. And I'm going to miss looking over there at Gloria and she there. And I know that the Lord has answered all of her questions and is attentive to her need to express herself. And she's going to be sorely missed.
Okay, anybody else? She decided one day that I needed a shirt, too. I can't remember what kind it was. And I said, it's too small. And she said, no, it isn't. I said, yes, it is. She says, try it on. I said, no. I said, I know it's too small. They have small, medium, large, extra large. This one's too small. And she says, well, a couple of weeks, she goes, you're not going to wear it, are you? I said, no. So give it back so I can give it to somebody that will. So, I don't know if you're the recipient of one of those, but it's just the way it was. So, anybody else? Really? Yes. Yeah. She knows the truth about that now, too. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. I appreciate the comments. And it shows me that not only we, or me, but all of us were impacted in some way by her life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that all mankind has a divine appointment. Now, it took me, my doctor's appointment is a year in advance. So I know I've got that appointment, and I've got some other medical things that are scheduled. But this is a divine appointment. And a divine appointment is a divine appointment with death. I know we don't like to talk about death. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It could be when you're young. It could be when you're middle age. You could advance to old age. It could be in the womb by miscarriage or by abortion. And by the way, 49 years today, 7 reprobate judges legalized murder in the womb. 49 years. And did you know that? Did anybody read anything yesterday in the paper of the massacre that took place yesterday? 4,000 people died in the womb. You probably didn't hear anything. But every day, close to 4,000 people dying in the womb. 49 years. It was higher before. It's gone down a little bit. I think there's more deaths by abortion than there are combined of all the health issues in our country. So, anyway, Job asked the question in chapter 14, verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? And in the years that I've pastored, in the years I've been saved, I've had several conversations with people that say, well, I'm gonna live again. I'm going to be a butterfly, or I'm coming back as a rock, you know, and things like this. Or, you know, no, of course not. We just, when you die, that's it, the cessation of being. Well, Job knew that you do live again. And so in Job chapter 19, he answers the question that he asked in chapter 14. And it's particularly interesting because it was a very important question that he asked in chapter 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? If a woman dies, if a child dies, if the unborn are murdered, you know, will they live again? So he says in verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So Job answered with a certain resounding yes, he will live again. I will live again. Death is not the end. So then the question comes in, well, what's the reason for death? Sin. Before Adam and Eve sinned, there was no death. And so sin brought death. And we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a negative, the reason why everything is the way it is, and the positive, why the negative can be made positive through Jesus Christ as Savior. And in Romans chapter 5, I'm going to stay there for a few verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. God showed that he loved. He said that he loved, but he also showed that he loved. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was a verse that I couldn't get across when I talked to the preacher well over 50 years ago. And it just wasn't connecting. I was raised in a Protestant religion, and the Protestant religion, you said, Christ died for everybody, but if you're going to make it, then everything will be judged on whether you do good or you do bad. And if the bad outweighs the good, then of course you're going to hell and not heaven. So that was in the back of my mind while he's talking. And I said, well, listen, the bad far outweighs the good. But he kept coming up with the verses. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that have anything to do with whether you did bad or you did good? No, it has everything to do with what Christ did for you. And if he did something for you, well, that's good. But if he did everything for you, that's better. And he did do everything for me. Before I was born, before I was a thought, I think before the beginning of the earth, the beginning of the age, the beginning of the world, he knew that I would be here on this earth, and the sins, all the sins that I would commit, and he paid the debt. And the debt is paid in full. And so I appropriated that. And of course, his shed blood, which made the payment to myself, and believed that what he did was personally for me. I had to take it for me. I had taken it all the time for all the people in the world, and not me. And it never meant me. That's what he did. He came for me. And he bled for me. And died and was buried and resurrected for me. So that I could know beyond any question that I have eternal life. That I have salvation. To me, that was not a church teaching. It turned out to be a Bible teaching. That we adhere to that is just because we believe the Word of God above. You know, we could go next door and the Russian Orthodox, or we could go to the Church of Christ or the Pentecostal over there, and they all have different doctrines, and they all have different ways on I'm supposedly getting to heaven. But there's still only one way. It's through Christ and what he did. And so I'm glad that, you know, I started off the Christian life with renouncing what I was raised with, although my parents thought I was crazy and it was my wife's fault. And she did all this to me. But they had to find out eventually that, no, she didn't do that. This is what the Lord did for me. So I want you to know, Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." And again, this is not a church teaching. This is a Bible teaching. And if I didn't have confidence that the Bible was accurate to the nth degree, without any possibility of compromise or error, I would never be here. I would never do this. Because then I would not know what is true and what is false. If God can make something up, or he just threw a book together and it's useless, then let me switch it and make it personal. Why was Pat looking for something beyond what she had? Because it wasn't doing the job. All it was taking, taking, taking. There is no giving. And that's the way it is in cults and false religions. They're always taking. And you never know. You never know enough. You can't ever have enough information. I remember witnessing to a fellow out in our church in Montana, and he said, and I'm not trying to berate Catholics, he just happened to be Catholic. And I told him, he said, "You can't know that you're saved. You can't know that you're going to heaven." I said, "Why not?" He says, "Well, I'm Catholic. You can't know that." I said, "Well, you mean they don't teach that you can know you're saved?" "No. It has to be through the church. And even then, you don't know." "No, it doesn't have to be through the church. You don't even have to go to church, basically, to be saved. I think if you are saved, you should. But really, this is the important thing. I would hate for you to know the truth. If you've known it before and you've denied it, you rejected it, I would hate for you to know the truth and not call on Christ to save you by faith alone and die in that situation. Because I almost did. And if you die in that situation, as I would have, then it means I would die again. I would die physically, and because I didn't receive Christ as my Savior, I would die spiritually in hell. And I would suffer the agony of separation, the agony of shame, the agony of thirst, the agony of darkness, the agony of loneliness, and the agony of concern for other people with no ability to help them. The Lord wants you to be saved. If Pat were here, she would say, I want my former friends. A lot of people turned against her. I want my other friends to be saved. I want everybody saved. I think she would say, I want everybody in this room and everybody that's watching saved. Because it's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for all to come to repentance. That's God's will. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And you don't want to procrastinate on this. The scripture says that today is the day of salvation. I had a 3x5 card, and it was dealing with a person that had all these ideas, all these plans, and he would write them down. And at the end of each day and each plan and each sentence, tomorrow, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to take care of this tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to go here and I'll do that. And it was a list of things. And tomorrow never came. And he died with a record of the lists that he made all during his life of what I was going to do tomorrow. And he died lost. You want to do something good for yourself that would be pleasing to the Lord? Forget us, forget me. Trust Christ as your Savior. Call on Him to save you in faith that what He did was sufficient to save you. I have no other agenda on this but to know that you can have what many of us have and what I never had and didn't know you could have. And I'm so glad that I have this. I wouldn't trade this or give this up for anything. If I was an Israelite and I came out of Egypt, and Egypt was a type of redemption, physical redemption, but we could make the application to spiritual redemption, I would never want to go back to Egypt. As hard as some things have been, and as strange as some things have been, I would never want to go back. I have within my possession eternal life through Jesus Christ. What if I'm wrong? What do I lose if I'm wrong? Will I be disappointed if I die and go into the ground and turn to dirt? Well, the dirt separates itself from the body and goes back to dirt. There's no, according to some people, there's no knowledge, there's no anything. You're just, that's it. You cease to be. But what will you lose if I'm right? And so not if I'm right, if the Bible's right. You lose everything. And I would recommend you read Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And you'll know that I'm not making any of this up. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll do another hymn. And if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I'm just going to ask you something. And then we'll close. All right? So, Father, we appreciate what has been said here from the people who knew her, interacted with her, guided her, taught her, laughed with her, agonized with her, cried with her, everything. She was not perfect, neither are we. But when I can make comparisons of imperfection, I don't know who would win the contest, but there's plenty of us that have been very, very imperfect. And more so that we know we needed a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we appreciate this. This is not the final chapter of anything to do with Pat, because we have the same knowledge that we will be with her in eternity, forever. So I would ask you to move upon the hearts of everybody that's here and watching. There may be people I don't know. There's people I don't know here as well. And to make a decision, finally. Not because I'm right and everybody else is wrong, but because the Bible is right. It always has been right. And we want to side with the Bible. Father, we read of a verse in Revelation where you said to the closing of the age, I stand at the door and knock. I believe that the Lord is standing at the door of your heart and just, why not you finally make everything right with me? You know what the truth is. Yes, I know you've been hurt. I know you've been disgusted. But you can trust me. I took on flesh and came for you. I lived a perfect life for you and died for you. And shed my blood for you and was buried and rose again the third day for you. And I gave you the invitation to come and receive me as your personal Savior. Why not take him at his word? Father, I just ask that you watch over us and realize the benefit that we have been privileged to have over these last few years. with an ordinary woman. They lived a maybe not so ordinary life. It came to a place where there was peace and joy and happiness in Christ. And to that end, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.